name of the risen Christ. Amen. About 5 years ago, the teenagers of St. Thomas's decided to sponsor a child through Compassion Canada. These teenagers are now adults, and we are also proud of them. They are med students and missionaries and law students. 5 years ago, as we looked through all the photos of the children we could sponsor, I was proud of them back then, too. Most especially because they decided to sponsor a teenager named Jaya Jacob from India. At the time, Jaya was 15, just a little younger than most of them. They figured that teenagers probably don't get as many offers of sponsorship as the cute little kids, and they also thought it would be fun to get to know, even in a small way, someone their age on the other side of the world. And so we sponsored Jaya, and the correspondence began. We sent her a picture of our youth group, and she sent us letters and prayers. It was fun, and we hoped we were making some difference in her circumstances. She did tell us when she turned 18 and left the sponsorship program that because we had sponsored her, she was able to go to nursing school. So there was definitely some satisfaction in that. But our relationship with Jaya was also kind of frustrating. Frustrating because although we hoped we were helping her, and although we ourselves were blessed by her letters to us, we knew we could never really get to know Jaya. Short of boarding a plane to India, we'd never meet our long-distance friend face to face. And there was always a sense of unreality to our relationship. You know, you look at these pictures and you think, is she even real? What could our few dollars a month do for her? And what really went on in her heart and mind beyond the typical news she shared with us about the weather, her grades, and her latest Sunday school lesson? Our experience with Jaya reminded me that for human beings to really connect, at some point, there has to be a face-to-face meeting. Now, I know that people can make friends and even, so they say, fall in love online. But even in those cases, eventually, the people need to see each other in person. Because a disembodied relationship, while possible for a time, in the end is no relationship at all. For human beings, faces matter, bodies matter. And in Christian faith, bodies really matter. All of our bodies matter because God made a good creation. But one body in particular matters in Christian faith, and that's the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. In the gospel reading we heard, we're told that when Mary entered the tomb, she did not see Jesus' body. Luke is very specific to tell us that. And the angel says to the woman, "He is not here, he has risen." And at this announcement, all chaos breaks loose. The women, in Luke's account, remember that Jesus had predicted this very thing, and they believe. The men don't believe it, at least most of them, at least at first. But Peter, I think those are the two loveliest words of Easter, but Peter got up and ran to see for himself. There were many people, who believed without having to see Jesus' actual body. A different body, of course, but without having to see his resurrected body. And as we'll hear next week, Jesus commended such belief when he said to our St. Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." But for most of them in those early days, it was seeing the actual resurrected body of Jesus that convinced them, because bodies matter. And while we in the church may not agree on every detail of Scripture or even on every detail of the Creed, I, for one, cannot waver on this one. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." That's important, important for lots of reasons, but not least of all because the resurrected body of Jesus means that God has given us a real hope for a real future with him as well as abundant life in the here and now. God was not and is not content to have a long-distance relationship with us, but comes to us face-to-face, first when Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem, then as he rose from the dead and appeared to all the witnesses, and third, when you and I will see him in all his glory, either at the time of our own deaths or at the return of Christ, whichever comes first. I sometimes imagined if our youth group could have met Jaya Jacob in person, how exciting that would have been, the rejoicing there would have been. And when we consider the good news that God has and will meet us in person, that joy only multiplies. In parts of the world today, our part mostly, belief in the bodily resurrection of Jesus has given way to the more palatable sounding belief that while Jesus may have lived on in some way, his bones still lay in the dust of this earth. Some believe this because they sincerely think that all of our modern knowledge cannot possibly square with such an unnatural event as a body rising from the grave. That's the stuff of ghost stories, they say, not of history. The stuff of wishful thinking, not the stuff of reality. Well, I'm not up here today to try to ridicule or even debunk all of that thinking, although I will say that there are thoughtful, brilliant Christians, ones whom no one would consider anti-science or unreasonable in the least, who believe strongly in the bodily resurrection of Christ. I would ask you to consider one thing, though. Imagine if those two men in dazzling clothes, men we presume are angels in Luke's gospel, said something different to the woman. What if the woman came to the tomb that morning, found Jesus still dead, and the angel said to them, "Don't look so sad. The spirit of your master will live on." Doesn't quite pack the same punch, does it? If Jesus had stayed dead, his followers might have had some nice memories, though I suspect the final, horrifying, and fearful memories of crucifixion would have crowded out most everything else. But they would not have had their world turned upside down, nor begun to turn the rest of the world upside down. No, Jesus rose from the dead, and a real resurrection body matters, because without it, there is no real resurrection hope. There are two kinds of chocolate Easter bunnies, solid and hollow. One brand of chocolate Easter bunny, as I've seen, is actually called Mr. Solid. Have you seen those? I've seen lots of those, but you know, I've never seen a Mr. Hollow. It just doesn't quite have the same appeal. What company is going to advertise a product's hollowness? If you see the word hollow on the packaging of a chocolate Easter bunny, it's probably going to be in the small print, not the large print. Well, the promise of resurrection for all who believe is not hollow. It's not, as the disciples initially believed, an idle tale. It's solid. It's trustworthy. I would go so far as to say that all of Christian faith hinges on this one thing. Now, that's not me being inflexible. It's pretty much the whole proclamation of the New Testament. Listen again to the words of St. Paul from our reading today in 1 Corinthians. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Why would St. Paul say they should be pitied if they only hope in Jesus in this life? You know, I remember about 10 years ago, it was not quite trendy, but many Christians were saying, oh, even if there's no heaven, it's still a good idea to follow Jesus on earth. You know, it's a good way to live. Well, that's probably, it's true, that's a good way to live. But Paul says, if this stuff isn't real, forget about it. It's just not worth it. We are to be pitied. But Christ has been raised from the dead. And later in 1 Corinthians, he makes the point even more strongly. If Christ has not been raised, Paul tells them, then our preaching has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. Without the resurrection, maybe we'd have a good collection of teachings from a good man, but we would not have the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, nor hope in our hearts for now and for hereafter. If Christ has been raised from the dead, then good news, everybody. The Bible says that goes for us too. Paul says that Jesus is the first fruits of those who have died. This means that he's the first of many to be raised from death, the first of those whom, as Paul puts it, belong to Christ. By God's grace, we can be counted among them. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Thanks be to God. Amen.